Ecclesiastes chapter 9, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We're going to look at most of this text this morning, not every single line, but most of it. And I have taken the title from a line in the text. In verse 4, it says, "A living dog is better than a dead lion." So I have entitled this "Of Living Dogs and Dead Lions." Let's stand, please. If you don't have a Bible, I think it will show up behind me. Let's read together, if you would, please, starting in verse 1. "For all this I considered in my heart." You automatically have something that we're not used to saying in English and in America. Look at me, please. You cannot think of your emotions and heart. Heart means the center of your being. He actually says in Hebrew, Natan, I gave my heart. So this is a deep, look at me, internal thinking process, which some people have never really done. They don't even know that you can actually live and exist in the mind thinking about ideas. That's what Solomon is doing. He says, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works," and this is beautiful, "are in the hand of God." The next line is, I'm not going to focus on it because it's really hard to know exactly what it means. "No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them." Verse 2. Now we come to a repeated phrase. One person actually said the entire book of Ecclesiastes revolves around this one idea. I don't agree with that, but I think it's an important idea. He says, "All things come alike to all." Everyone look at me, please. All things come alike to all. Look at me, please. You're one of the all. Yes? We prayed for Carly. You will lose your grandparents. Chances are you'll lose your parents. Chances are you'll lose a spouse. All things come alike to all. There are no real differences over a lifetime. I used to think, I will confess, because of the theology that I grew up around, that you can control things, that if you just got your ducks and stuff in a line and you did right and you didn't have, no, life is life for everybody. Just it's the way it is. By the way, it's because of sin. It's because of the curse. All things come alike to all. There is one event. What's that event? Called death. It says there's one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth, meaning makes oaths to God, as he that feareth an oath. None of that's going to change. One event's going to happen to everybody. Verse 3. There is an evil among all things that are done under the sun. There is something that's just really evil. He says that there is one event unto all, yea, or yes. Also, this is the evil part. The heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that, they go to the dead. What's wrong with us? We don't learn? I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think you're going to escape that one event? I'll talk about this later. It is possible that we might escape. The Apostle Paul thought he would. Remember, we're not all going to die, but we'll all be changed. But friends, that's the rapture. That's our hope. But I got news for you. My family, my pastor, when I was a boy, believed in this, but he still died. Okay, we continue. For to him that is joined to all the living, this is what I love about this, there is hope. Oh my goodness, esperanza, there's hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Why? Well, the living know that they shall die. But the dead, in this under the sun idea, know not anything. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy, it's now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. My friend, we're going to talk about living dogs and dead lions this morning. We're going to look at this text. Please hear me. I have only one desire for you this morning. I'm going to do something I usually don't do. In preaching, it's usually best to put most of your emphasis on point one. I'm going to put 90% of my emphasis on point three at the end, and I'm going to hurry through point one and two, which build to point three. Every person in this room must grasp something. If you're still alive, there is hope. A living dog is better than a dead lion. But friend, that does change. We'll talk about that. Let's pray together, please. Father, I ask your blessings on this time. May this be a profitable morning as I share some simple ideas with the folks here today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I'm not sure who told me. Somebody just mentioned this morning, sometime this week. It might have been two different people mentioned. Man, there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of people losing people. My friend Ade decided to have surgery. Christy's father had surgery the last week or two. Carly's grandfather, his time is now gone. Carly did get there to say goodbye, but his time is now gone. Cliff, you lost your brother. And a few months back, 6 months ago, it was your family duty. Oh, with you've lost a lot of people in a short period of time. My Uncle Tim, not long ago, right before I had surgery, I could not go to the funeral because of the circumstances. Listen, friend, my Uncle Jim, you say, was he important to you? I'll just say it. Can I say it this way? I'm 68 years old. I never remember a time before Uncle Jim and Aunt Catherine. The last time I spoke to him was in March, my mom's birthday, Carrollton, Illinois, and his last words to me, I was congratulating him because he, Uncle Jim and Aunt Catherine, and Uncle Cook and Aunt Frances both surpassed my mom and dad. They both made it to 65 years of marriage. Jenny, do you remember his last words? Do you remember what he said to me? He looked at me and he said, almost 66. He never made it to 66. That would have been in December. This was in March. He's already thinking, almost 66. He was very proud. In his obituary, true story, he was one of the few real Christians in my family. Do you know what a real Christian is? Someone not playing around? It was a well-known fact. But when he was a young teenage boy, he prayed for a wife. And Aunt Catherine was his wife. And they were as happy as two. I've never seen. They were like teenagers. They were only married 65 years. Yeah, stuff happens. My cousin from my dad's side, my cousin Woody. That's a great name, Woody. Woody made a joke on Facebook. He told one of those dumb, are they dad jokes? Is that what they are? He said, you know, when you're young and you drop something on the ground, you just reach down and pick it up. He says, when you get old and you drop something on the ground, you look down and say, can I do without that? So I texted. I almost never post on Facebook, but I wanted to make fun of my cousin Woody. So I put on Facebook, I said, Woody, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm much younger than you, with about 10 smiles. I called him later and I said, Woody, I loved it. And it was fun making fun of you. And I said, but what you don't know is I just had a knee replaced. He says, Ralph, I've had both of my knees replaced and both of my shoulders. Can I say this to you folks? Life happens, does it not? It happens to us all. And I know that some of you don't think that you're getting older. You think you have found the magic. In your notes behind me, Solomon is looking under the sun, which has two implications. As far as the sun travels, you know, the whole earth, and it has the other implication is he doesn't ever accomplish it, but he says, under the sun, like, let's not just talk about eternity. Let's not just talk about heaven. Let's look at life down here under the sun. Now, I say, obviously, he believed in God. And he believed in eternity, friend. Don't read this passage to think he thought when a person died, they're just in the grave. He's talking about from our perspective, they no longer interact. Once you're passed over, you're no longer interacting. Life is over here. All Solomon is trying to do is this. He just wants us to live this life now. I'm going to encourage you later what that means. What do we learn in this text? Well, look at verse 1 again, please. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 1. He says, "For all this I considered in my heart." So this is an internal working his way through this. Observation, research, thought, working through this, you know, internally. He says, "All of this I have considered in my heart, even to declare all of this, that the righteous and the wise in their works," here's his first statement, it's so beautiful, "are in the hand of God." My first point. Folks, this is comforting. It's beautiful. We exist in his hands. And I don't think I'd want to put my head on the pillow. I want to ask you a question. When they roll you into surgery, does everybody come out of surgery? Were you afraid? Can I be honest with you? What am I going to be afraid of? You say, well, you might die. Folks, we exist in his hands. Every believer exists in his hands. And that's just a precious truth. We want to build to where we're going, but we want to start in the very just beautiful, from the day you were born, you exist in God's hands. And when you're born again, you're even a more special way in God's hands. You're one of God's children. But friends, there's a thousand things that can go wrong. But why do we have comfort? Because we're in his hands. That's where we exist. We exist in his hands. And by the way, I put hands, not hand, because God doesn't have a hand or hands. God is a spirit. He's using a metaphor to describe what God does. What does God do? He holds us. He holds us like the shepherd would hold the sheep, like a mother would protect the baby, like a father would protect his family, only he's God. John chapter 10, of course, you all know these verses. God's hands are very good to us. Jesus said to us, to his disciples, and then to us, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of" what? "My hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man or no one," period, "is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands." Turn your Bibles to Psalm 37, would you please? Psalm 37. I'm going to wake a couple of you up, because if I have everything on the screen, some people go right to sleep immediately. Psalm 37, please. Psalm 37. In verse 23. Verse 24 is on the screen, but we're going to look at verse 23. I'm assuming you know these, some of the most precious verses in the Bible, just precious. Psalm 37, verse 23. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Verse 24, "though he fall," which kind of assumes, even though you're a believer, you're still sinful, even though you stumble occasionally, "he shall not be utterly cast down." By the way, if you're one of God's children, you will never utterly be cast aside. Why? "For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Friends, we exist in his hands. I hope that's encouraging to you. By the way, there's a sovereign part of this. That's found, if you would, back on the screen in Deuteronomy 32:39. "See now that I, even I, am he," or "am, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." By the way, there's that sense of God gathering us, comforting us, protecting us. There's a sense of God restoring us. There's a sense of God being sovereign. You're not going to mess with me. This is in my hand. That's this text. Isaiah 43, verse 13. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it, or who shall hinder it? Isaiah 51, 16. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand. That is precious. Paul doesn't use the image. Please look at me, friend. Paul doesn't use the image. I hope you're not a fool, that you think you exist because of you. By the way, some Christians live as if they're evolutionists. But in reality, Paul uses different language, same image. You and I exist in his hands. Different images, Acts 17, verse 25. Speaking of God, neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything. By the way, God doesn't get hungry. He doesn't need you to clothe him. He doesn't need you to feed him. He doesn't need some milk. He doesn't need some food. Why? Because on the other hand, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Everyone look at me. When I had surgery, you don't really know. By the way, you talk to people, you talk to the doctor, you talk to the nurses. You don't know what's going to happen exactly. You say, what's the first shock to you? Watch me. I could get down to about right here. How do you sit down? Then you just flop. That little motion, because that knee was swollen about three times the normal size, was so painful. Can I say this? It was very nice when I finally got to the place where I can just do this. Can I say something? But God was always there the whole time. You're never a time when you're not in his hands. Can I say this? Superman, wherever he went, is going to be a police, forgive me, sheriff's department, I'm not, deputy? Are you already official here locally too? So he's official. Listen, I've known him since birth. He's not my favorite in the family. I like him. My favorite, everybody knows, is Big B, of course. It's always my favorite. But listen, and I'm being funny, but I'm being dead serious. He's going to do something that could potentially be dangerous. Can I tell you something? So is everything you do, including drive home today from church. We're always in his hands. By the way, am I confident? I know he has good training. I know he's smart. I know he'll follow and do the right things. But more than all of that, look at me. Remember the passage in the Old Testament? And underneath are the everlasting arms. Yeah, I'm pretty confident. I'm as confident as you can be. Let's look at the next text in Acts. Acts 17, 28, he continues talking about who God is. For in him we live and move. And the King James says, have our being, our very existence. So, we exist in his hands. That's where we start this conversation about living dogs and dead lions. Number two, we'll go to Ecclesiastes 9, verse 2. And friend, this is found in many places in Ecclesiastes. We're just going to touch on this one and one other. 9, verse 2 says this, all things come alike to all. Which means, in general, we're all going to experience the same kind of things. You're never going to not experience the same sort of things. He says, there is one event to the righteous and to its opposite, the wicked. To the good and to the clean and to the opposite, to the unclean. To him that sacrifices, and by the way, we've already talked about this. Some people think I'm going to just organize my life and escape all of these problems. No, you're not. You're going to have all of the pains. So whether you sacrifice or you don't sacrifice. As to the good, so to the sinner, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth, meaning he that makes oaths to God. God, I promise I'm going to do this and follows through. But that doesn't change. One event happens to them all, as he that feareth an oath. Ecclesiastes 2:14, we talked about it earlier. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the what? The judgment. Now, friend, please hear me. I am a Bible-believing Baptist. I believe in the rapture. I believe in the blessed hope. Which means this, in this life, I have two paths. I know which one I want. I want the Lord to return in the air, call his church out. The dead in Christ shall meet him first. The rest of us will join in if we're alive. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. By the way, the dead in Christ are already with the Lord, but their bodies, you know, resurrection, will meet the Lord in the air. That is my hope. I would like to go. By the way, be okay if it was today. I have another. By the way, what is the more common option? Death. One event. Yes? Now, I was talking to somebody recently about where I'm from. Nothing. I'm not a special person. Nobody in my family, I don't want to repeat this ever again. Nobody that I know in my family history is special. We're normal people. Most of us were farmers for about the first 300 and something years we were in America. I can take you to where my great, great, great grandparents are buried. I know the church they went to. I know their children. My great, and I didn't know them. My great-great-grandfather died in 1932. My mother didn't know him because that's the year she was born. Listen, I know them. On my dad's side, I can take you to my great-great-great-grandpa Herring, where he's buried. Did you just notice what I said? Where they're buried, one event happens to them all. Did you hear me? So, number one is we exist in his hands. Number two, we exist on the clock. And by the way, it's not a clock you started, and it's not a clock you're going to stop. It's his clock. How long are you going to be here? Well, I can say this. I look around at our young people, and I hope they make it to well over 100, if the Lord wills. I'm hoping. By the way, Mrs. DeGraw is our oldest member. She is 94. Is that right? That's only, by the way, it's only 5.5 or so more years. I am hoping she makes it to 100. But we're still going to die. We exist on the clock. Now, friends, forgive me. In this room, I love this church. I give my whole life to this group of people. There's only one thing that just drives me crazy about this church. And none of you probably know. You don't know anything about baseball. I'm a Cardinal fan. It's in the blood in St. Louis. So I'm going to tell a baseball story, not about the Cardinals. Years ago, one of the great announcers, Vin Scully, was announcing a baseball game between the LA Dodgers and, I believe, the Montreal Expos. That's where Andre Dawson played before he came to the Cubs. It could have been LA against the Cubs, one of the two. And Andre Dawson, a good guy, good ball player. Andre Dawson had twisted his knee and he didn't start in the lineup. So as they were going through, his name came up and Vin Scully said something. I hope you hear me. Vin Scully said this. By the way, if you've never heard it, he was a brilliant guy. Vin Scully said, Andre Dawson hurt his knee. He's day to day. And instantly he thought to himself, I think we're all day to day. I look back there where Jan is. Jan, you were in the wrong seat. That's Mike Rock's seat. And I remember the Sunday morning when he was back there. And I remember talking to him that Sunday morning about the grace of God. I'll talk about Mike a little later. Mike had messed up a few times in life, but he was very much rejoicing in God's grace and mercy. Day to day. By the way, then all of a sudden, Wednesday night, I still remember I was downstairs. I was going to walk upstairs to take a shower, getting ready to go take a shower, walking upstairs, and the phone rang. I don't know who it was. Was it Amy? Was it you? Or was it Jennifer? It was Jennifer. And the next thing I know, my friend Mike is gone. Can I say this? Andre Dawson, he's day to day. Well, aren't we all day to day? Hear me. Look at me. Number one, we exist in his hands. Is that beautiful? Number two, we exist on a clock, his clock. We all do. There are no exceptions, friend. I'm not going to guilt anybody this morning. I'm going to talk about myself in a negative way. Somewhere in the very early 1990s, I was in my office in St. Louis, in my desk, reading, thinking, whatever. And all of a sudden, boy, one of those flashes of light. I thought, I graduated from high school in 1975. I joined the United States Navy 1975 to 1981, 6 years. When I joined the Navy, they were going to send me to college. I knew that. I originally went for nuclear engineering, but they didn't let me go there because of color vision. So then I went to hospital corps and then med tech in those days, which they allowed. So from 1975 to 1981, I was in the Navy. I look forward to going to college. I look forward to getting out. Listen, in 1976, right before I went to med tech school, I knew I should be a pastor. Would you believe the Navy didn't care? I had signed up, so I went through the program, but I looked forward, not in a bad way, looked forward to getting out. I got out, then I went to school. I got my second bachelor's, my first master's degree, 1986, and guess what I'm doing? I'm looking forward to getting into the ministry. I get in the ministry in 1986 to 1988, assistant pastor, worked with later with Bill Schroeder, Oak Forest Baptist Temple, which somebody that was good to me, and I'm looking forward. I finally, 1988, we moved to St. Louis. I become a senior pastor from 88 to 96 in St. Louis. Listen, friend, and the whole time I keep looking. One morning, just like somebody turned the lights on, I thought to myself, Ralph, you are where you have always dreamed of being. Start enjoying what you're doing. We exist, friends, listen to me. We exist in his hands. We exist on the clock. Now listen, I'm going to look around slowly. There are people up here in the front that are very young. I know they're young because I was at their wedding and I'm young. There's other guys over here, they're not quite as young, especially the Lolo guy. He's like 90, I think. I'm looking. You are day to day. You say, I'm healthy. You're day to day. How do we not? Listen, I still remember, this is 1996, Mrs. Spindler. Mr. Spindler and Mrs. Spindler, he was the weirdest person I think I'd ever met. Tim? Mr. Spindler was just odd. Mr. Spindler dropped Mrs. Spindler off to teach first grade. This might have been 97. He went home, he came back, and it was snowing. He was one of those old corn dogs that didn't think a seatbelt was important. Some guy driving down the road lost control of his car, hit his car, slammed into his car, pushed his car over, hit a telephone pole, and Mr. Spindler was gone. I had to walk down and talk to his wife. By the way, your day today. By the way, no guilt. By the way, this isn't about guilt. This is called life. One event. Now, hopefully the rapture happens and we don't have to experience it, but here's where we build. Number one, we exist in his hands. That's beautiful, friend. If you're a believer, God is controlling. God is, now, by the way, even an unbeliever, God still has interest. I mean, you know, he doesn't cast people aside. Secondly, we exist on the clock. The clock has a beginning point and it has an end point. Yes or no? Okay, what's your problem? I was there when I was born, but I don't remember it. But my mom tells me I was born April 23rd, 1957 in St. Louis, Missouri. She always told me at Barnes Hospital, there's only one problem. My birth certificate says St. Louis Maternity Hospital, which is part of Barnes Hospital. What's my expiration date? I don't know. Number three. Now we go to the hard part and where the action is this morning. And if we're done early today, my daughter will like me. Don't hold your breath. Verse 3, please. This is an evil among all things that are done where? Where? Under the sun. You know, wherever the sun rolls and wherever we're not considering God. It says there is one event unto all. Everybody should get that. But there's a weird corollary. Says also, the heart of the sons of men is full of evil and madness in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. What in the world? He goes on to say, for to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. for a living dog is better than a dead lion. Of course, because you're still alive. Now, don't get weird here. This is not teaching soul sleep and all the stupidity. This is simply discussing under the sun. Verse 5 says, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Of course not, because they've already moved on, no longer connected to this life. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also, their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. By the way, if you're a person that's given to hatred, envy, bitterness, you realize one day you'll take that to the grave. It won't be a good present. He says, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done where? Under the sun. Of course not. That doesn't mean over the sun. It means under the sun, like it's talking about. So, number three, let's stop at the beginning. We exist in his hand. That's the beautiful part. Number two, we exist on a clock. God's clock. Friend, it's ticking down. Let me ask Lolo over here. Lolo, I can ask you because you're a man. How old are you? No, not you, Lolo. You're young. I'm talking about the other old Lolo. 47. Man, is that right, sister? I think he's older than that. I came to this church, I was 39. I'm not 39 anymore. Number three, we exist with some choices. Why? Look at me. If you're still alive, there's still hope. If you're still alive, there's still hope. That's the beauty of this text. Why is a living dog better than a dead lion? Because there's still hope. You can still affect change. You can still do things. We exist with some choices. If you're not a dead lion. You say, what choices? Well, lots of choices. But for to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. Strangely, I think Solomon was shocked at the fact of this. Here you go. Look at me, friend. You exist, if you're a believer, in God's hands. You exist on a clock. The natural response would be, let me take advantage of this. As opposed to, let me waste my life on hatred, anger, whoever I'm bitter at, whoever has offended me 47 years ago, all of it. It's like, huh? You're going to take all that stuff to the grave with you. And ain't nobody going to remember you are it. Can you imagine? You got your little list of people you don't like. You carry it with you, either in a book or in your heart. One day, your dirty, rotten heart will die. What happens to it then? Stupid to live that way. But I say this. I think Solomon is shocked that people waste their life. They waste their opportunity. They waste their time. We exist with some choices. I am far from being Christ-like in every area of my life. But I have one thing that I am. Please look at me. I am an eternal optimist as long as you're alive. I assume if God has given you one more day, God can change whatever he wants to change. I am an optimist. I love when people move. Let me say this, and he's gone. No, I won't say any secrets. Mike Rock struggled in life. Anybody that knew him knew that. He struggled in marriage. He struggled in life. He made tons of mistakes. The thing that I liked about Mike is, number one, he always told the truth about it. A lot of liars in church. Number two, in his older life, he didn't make those mistakes anymore. He spent his life. You know how I first heard about Mike Rock? I'm out with my friend Phil Scott from where I'm from. He says, I met somebody that comes to your church. He said, yeah, I was out at a baseball game, and I don't remember his name, but his son's name Rock. Mike messed up with his own children. Are you listening to me? He messed up with his own children. But he tried not to repeat that mistake with his grandchildren. Most people do the same stupid thing over and over. Now, I'm going to say a bunch of other things. I'm going to say this one first. This is not political. I want everybody to be clear. I don't care about the politics. It's already over. We went through a presidential election not long ago. in my opinion, two miserable choices, one exceptionally miserable and the other one bad. Kamala Harris might be the worst person that's ever been a candidate for the presidency of the United States. She could not carry on a coherent conversation. Something is wrong with that. Many people, not me included, think she sunk her ship when she was on The View, that wonderful bastion of filth, and was asked a question. What would you do differently? And she said something like this. Hey, she said, I can't think of anything. That was it. That was it. You mean you couldn't improve on Biden? You don't have any new ideas? Can I say this? If you are alive, you have choices to make now. If you can't admit you've made dumb choices, then we're back to Solomon. We're back to Solomon going, I don't understand. Why would you keep doing the same dumb things over and over? He says, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event under all, but somehow the hearts of the Son of Man are full of evil and madness in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. Oh, for to him that is joined unto all the living, there is hope. So friends, we exist, if you're still alive, with some choices. I'm an optimist in this area. You have some choices. If you're not saved this morning, please trust Christ today. Do it now. You say, I haven't done it. Do it now. If you haven't become a follower of Christ, meaning maybe you're saved, whatever that means, but that's as far as it goes. This is the day to begin. If you have messed up with your children, first step. I'm sorry. Apologize and start anew. Quit. By the way, you have hope. That's God's given you that opportunity. This isn't negative. This is hope. We exist in His hands. We exist on the clock. God has given us some more time. Use it. Use it to invest in your kids and your grandkids. I was talking to Marty Marriott, of who I like very much. I said, I'm sorry, brother. I'm going to have to split the conversation off. I got grandkids calling me. I have several interrupters. My wife, my mother, my son, and my daughter's two grandsons. Or my daughter's two sons, my grandson, not my daughter. I don't listen to her or look at her text. That's for sure. Can I say this, friend? I'm going to hurry through this. If you haven't forgiven somebody today, what are you holding on to? You exist on a clock, and you exist with choices. Make some choices. What are we playing around with? What are we doing? Why are we wasting our life? Solomon's going, you mean God's given you 10 more years, and you did what? Your name is Kamala Harris? I wouldn't change anything. If you look at me in the eyes and say you wouldn't change anything, there's a name for that, a big fool. Because all of us have done stupid things, or weak things, or immature things. Please grow up. Please start growing. I'm going to say this quickly. I don't want this to be in any way negative, and it's not negative. When I found out that Carly's grandpa had died, did that bother me? Well, I knew from the family that was what was going to happen. Most of you are weeping from Carly. Do you know what my first thought was? Carly's grandfather will never tell Carly, I love you, ever. Now, I don't know what he did up until this point, but I can tell you this. He won't say it again, because when you're dead, there's no more choices. I'm going to tell a story, and I'm going to be done this morning. This is a story of two Hispanic kids. The young man's name, I do not remember the last name. His name was Eddie. Eddie was a pure Mexican white guy. He spoke as much Spanish as some of our Hispanic kids in our school. Some speak a lot, some speak none. He spoke no Spanish at all. But I mean, his family was Hispanic, pure Hispanic from LA, Mexican Americans, good people. He went to Bible college with me. His name was Eddie. During the time, I knew Eddie a little bit here and there. We bumped into each other, didn't know him well. After a while, he ran into this young lady. I love the name. It doesn't work in English, because in English it means something different. But her nickname that she went by was Gabby. But you don't want to be called Gabby in English. Gabby, you know, Gabriella probably, but they call her Gabby. Lovely young lady. They fell in love. Eddie and Gabby. By the way, this isn't your religion. This happened in my Bible college. Are you hearing? Eddie and Gabby. I knew both of them. I knew her a little bit, knew him a little bit more, saw them, you know, they're in love. Finally, at the end of Bible college, they get married. They do a small honeymoon, and like at the end of the summer sometime, they are going to go to California. Taquito, this is my favorite part of the story, the fun part. He was going to California to work with a big Hispanic church, Spanish-speaking church. He was going to be the English pastor because he didn't speak Spanish. Now, Gabby spoke pure Spanish and English. She was bilingual. It's just funny to me. You know, you mean we have Spanish ministries? You have an English ministry there. Beginning of school. Chapel. Big chapel at that time. 1,700 students. Walk in. Chapel's not normal. Dr. Evans, the president, is carrying some folders. Everybody, we pray. He's seated. He stands up. He walks to the platform. He has two manila folders. He said, all of you know Gabby and Eddie. Do you remember the story, Jenny? I don't think you were in school at the time. Maybe you were. Eddie and Gabby, on their way to L.A., drove into a fog mess in Arkansas, into a 60-car pileup, and died before they ever got where they were going. He did this. He said, their folder is closed. Nothing bad. It was not guilt-oriented. He says, friends, you have a life to live. Don't mess around thinking, I'm going to start living that life someday. Look at me. You got problems with your kids today. You repent. Buy yourself some books. Get some counsel. Whatever it is. Bitterness, anger. Friends, if you're alive, here it is. There is hope. That's the text. We exist in His hands. We exist on a clock. And if you still got more time, I'm not talking about I got 20 years, I'm in good health. Man, have you seen my cholesterol and triglycerides? Oh, please. I'm talking about this. God has given me more time. You also exist with some choices. Look at me. What choices are you going to make today? Anything different? Or is your name Kamala Harris? I can't think of a thing. Let's pray. Father, it's a simple text. I remember Gabby, if pure Mexican-American. You know, Eddie, pure white American, white Mexican. I mean, he was so funny. When he tried to speak Spanish, it irritated all the Spanish speakers. Sweet couple. Got married, had a little bit of life together, and on the way to serve, the clock was finished. The time was up. Our friend Mike Rock was the same. I think Mike made lots of bad choices for lots of many, many reasons. But I know one thing. He never ceased to invest in those grandkids, and he invested in kids here. Perfect, long way from it. Thankful of the grace of God every day of his life. And this morning, while we have hope, while we're a living dog, we're not impressed with ourselves. We don't have to be the lion. We have hope. There is hope. Esperanza. There is something that we can find hope in. May we make those good choices. In Christ's name, amen.